You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
And we are with you on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class, rolling through the 3 o'clock hour here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes joining me coming up in just a moment. Isaac Elzinga on the other side of the glass, our producer here today. Can't wait till 4 o'clock hits, probably. Tell the truth now, Isaac. You can't wait, can you?
I got nothing else to do, really, so I'm fine. And plus, I'm getting paid to be here. It's not like I'm here just not for free. Like, I am getting paid.
It's not a volunteer system here
today.
No,
if I wasn't getting paid, I probably wouldn't have come in. But I am getting paid, so, you know, you can keep me here however long you want. I get paid by the hour, like
All right.
Say.
Well, we got a good show coming up. We're going to get to keep you till 4 o'clock today. And then after that, it will not be Spencer on sports today. Spencer is on vacation. He will be out the rest of the week. And we will send you to ESPN programming coming up at 4 o'clock. And that will go until 6:30. And then we've got the annual tradition, unlike any other, for Christmas Eve. That would be the Hawaii Bowl from Honolulu, coming up later on for you. 319-366-1600. That is the text line available to you. 319-366-1600. That's the phone line as well if you'd like to pick up the phone, if you're doing last-minute shopping, if you're getting together with friends and relatives, whatever the case may be. And if we can entertain you through the 3 o'clock hour, by golly, we are going to do that. That is our goal here today. Gerard Hamilton is going to join us from Power Mizzou, the 24/7 affiliate down there. We will join him coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk a lot of bowls today: Iowa, Missouri, Iowa State, Miami. We're getting a preview of the Mizzou Tigers coming up with Gerard here in just a little bit. And of course, we are off tomorrow. NFL action coming your way tomorrow right here on 1600 ESPN with a pair of games, starting off with the Kansas City Chiefs trying to lock up the number one spot. They take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, Houston Texans, and the Baltimore Ravens. Houston-Baltimore. Yep, that's coming up in the nightcap tomorrow. Again, 319-366-1600 with the text line. Here's Mark joins me on a Christmas Eve edition of the program. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Isaac and everyone, and happy Christmas Eve to all. Merry Christmas tomorrow. And I'm just glad I'm not using air travel today. I just noticed over 4,000 delays.
Yeah. Bless your heart if you're out there trying to get from point A to point B in an airplane today. Not good news when you woke up as far as one airline is concerned. And, hey, I hope you make it to your destination for Christmas or getting together, whatever is on your docket this year. And, boy, midweek holidays are very tough, very tough. Wednesday may be the toughest. We are off tomorrow, so we had to push a lot of people around, move them to different times. Kevin Lehman, as far as we know, I got to talk to Kevin, but he is scheduled to join us on Thursday. Rob Gray is going to join us on Thursday from Cyclone Fanatic and from the Cedar Rapids Gazette right at 3:05 or 3:03, actually, before he boards an airplane to go to Orlando from the Des Moines International Airport. So if everything stays on time, keep your fingers crossed, we are going to talk to Rob on Thursday. Now, we are not, unfortunately, going to be able to talk to Kevin Payne on Thursday, just the way it worked out. And next week is even worse than this week with Iowa and Missouri on Monday, bowl action on Tuesday, New Year's Day on Wednesday. We'll be back with you on Thursday and Friday next week. So, yeah, if you're wondering about Mark Ironside, he will join us on Friday as well as the pick six. So we'll have it's a holiday, Mark, but we do not forget our good friends at Emil's Hideaway and the Pick Six and the ability to give somebody out there a chance to win a $30 gift card. We're not forgetting about that.
No, it's been a great relationship with Emil's, and they've been with us from for a long time. And Dave's joining us every week. Happy to do it. And we're going to do another round here next Friday.
Yep, looking forward to that. 319-366-1600. If you would like to weigh in with your Christmas, I don't know, whatever you're doing today, love to hear from you out there. Again, 319-366-1600. South Florida and San Jose State, by the way, in the Hawaii Bowl coming up at 6:30 this evening. Should be a decent game. San Jose State 7-5, and South Florida coming in there at 6-6. But here in Iowa, Mark, we're looking forward to both Iowa and Iowa State's bowl games. Iowa State up first on Saturday. They will take on the Miami Hurricanes. We'll get to that coming up in just a moment. Iowa will take on Missouri on Monday down at Nissan Stadium in Nashville, Missouri. I think currently, what, three and a half point favorite. Right around a field goal favorite anyway in that game for the 9-3, 19th rated Missouri Tigers. And we're going to talk to Jerrod Hamilton here in just a little bit and get his perspective on that game and Missouri football for 2024. But I'm looking forward to the game. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I think you got two teams that basically do it kind of the same way, Mark. They went through the season, Missouri especially, very Iowa-like and winning most of the games that they were supposed to win and probably dropping the games that they were supposed to drop. The three losses for Missouri were at Texas A&M. Certainly can't hang your head losing to the Aggies in College Station, 41-10. Lost at Alabama, 34-0, and then lost at South Carolina. So three road games right there. Lost that one in a very close fashion, 34-30. Won some close games against bowl teams. Beat Oklahoma 30-23. Beat the Arkansas Razorbacks 28-21. Beat Vandy in double overtime, 30-27. And also beat a bowl team in Boston College by a score of 27-21. And I think, beat Auburn, but Auburn is not in a bowl. Auburn finished up at 5-7. So it's kind of like looking in the mirror a little bit if you're looking ahead to this bowl game, Mark.
Well, it is in some respects. I think one thing that Missouri has an advantage over Iowa is at the quarterback position, and Brady Cook, who is a very veteran quarterback. We're going to talk about opt-outs. I know Missouri has at least a couple. Iowa has Caleb Johnson going to sit out. That's always a factor. But we'll get more into it with Jerrod coming up here.
You take a look at the matchup here with Iowa and Missouri and the Iowa offense, and you're wondering how Missouri does defensively against the rush. Well, not too bad. They give up 133 yards a game, which is 41st in the country. So not really too bad as far as that is concerned. And Hawks, of course, running for 200 yards. But like you said, no Caleb Johnson in this particular ball game for Iowa. So somebody's going to have to pick things up, whether that's Jazz Patterson, whether, whoever the case may be. I think you're going to see running back by committee for Iowa. Brendan Sullivan is probably going to run the ball as well. More RPOs, I would imagine, is going to be in the game plan as far as the offense is concerned for Iowa. And with that in mind, we'll see if Missouri can stop that Iowa rushing game.
It's a very good overall defense for Missouri. It's for Iowa, it's difficult to replace an All-American like Caleb Johnson. There's no question about that. But I think Kamari Moulton and Jazz Patterson have shown flashes of pretty good stuff. And it all comes down to the offensive line in that regard against what I said was a pretty solid Missouri defense most of the season.
Yeah, and also You take a look at some of the other aspects of this game. The Missouri offense, you know, it's okay. 390 yards a game. As you mentioned, they've got a terrific quarterback. I really, really like Brady Cook. He's kind of a lock type, if you will, the former Missouri quarterback who's now in the NFL, albeit with the New York Giants, and throwing pick sixes all over the place. But he is in the National Football League. But this guy, I think, is kind of a clone of him. Very balanced for Missouri. Rush it for 171 yards. Throw it for 220 yards. They've got a couple of top-flight receivers to throw the ball to. You take a look at it with Weiss over 800 yards of total offense and receiving. Burden's got 676 yards. The one thing I noticed about Missouri, though, Mark, is per catch. This is a team. This is not a dink and dime team. This is not a throw it 5 yards. They will do that at times, but they get a lot of yards after catches, a lot of yak with that. But this is a team that will throw it downfield a little bit on you. And so I think that's going to probably test the Iowa linebackers, certainly Sebastian Castro, certainly the Iowa defensive backs, and the safeties will be tested in this game on Monday as well.
Yeah, Iowa will not be able to afford a poor tackling game like it had against Michigan State, that's for sure. I believe I read Luther Burden, one of the top receivers from Missouri, is opting out. Let's confirm that with our guest. But Theo Weiss is 809 yards and 3 touchdown passes and a smattering of others that have shown capabilities. So, and you're right, the yards per catch, 14.7, 19.6, 12.8, 14.8, and on and on with their receivers. So, and it's got a decent running game, but nothing spectacular. Just a pretty well-balanced offense that I'm sure Phil Parker will dial in a game plan of some kind before the 30th.
What is anything caught your eye, Isaac, taking in Missouri this year?
Yeah, I guess just the balance. I'm interested to see how Iowa's back end can handle that, just because that has been a concern for Iowa this year, is the secondary defense there, especially with Jamari Harris not playing in this one. They did pretty well, I think, against in that Nebraska game, but I feel like Missouri might have a little bit more outside talent, receiver talent, than Nebraska did. And then I'm curious to see if Iowa kind of unlocks the passing game a little bit more with Brendan Sullivan, because we saw a lot of stuff in the run game with Brendan Sullivan, not a lot of stuff in the passing game, a lot of really short rollout passes to the tight end, just really simple concept stuff. He did have that one throw in the UCLA game that was pretty deep. I can't remember to who, but that was like the longest passing play of the season for Iowa. So I am maybe looking to see if the passing game gets a little bit farther along with Sullivan in anticipation for him starting next year.
Yeah, this is the first battle, if you will, as far as the quarterback spot for next year is concerned. Because you got to think there's going to be two Sullivans, another freshman coming in. Although, if we've learned anything under Kirk Ferentz over the years, guys, it is that freshman quarterbacks don't come in and start. Chuck Long is not coming down the line anytime soon here for Iowa, but Jackson Stratton is in there, and then you've got Brown, the transfer coming in from Auburn. He is with the team, but is not going to participate in this ball game. This is your first quarterback competition here, I think, Mark.
Well, it's certainly another chance for Brendan Sullivan to show his wares. Whatever that may be, it's an audition, once again, his second audition, so to speak, prior to his injury. We pretty much know what we have, if you're Iowa, and Jackson Stratton in a couple games. Nobody knows about Hank Brown unless you're taking a deep dive into Auburn football, and he had one good game before he was replaced, so it's going to be a competition, I would think. I would guess Brendan Sullivan will be starting the next spring, number one. But we'll see how he does in this game. It could go a long ways to determining, you know, what I was thinking come 2025.
Thanks for the text, Justin. Glad we're helping things out as far as your wrapping party is concerned. And yes, beer breaks do cut into your productivity as far as wrapping. Hey, just if you can, stuff it in a gift bag and move on. I am the world's worst present wrapper, Isaac. I am awful at it.
Oh, I promise I am not much better. If you see the stuff at my apartment right now, it's... You can tell which ones I've done, and you can tell which ones my girlfriend has wrapped there. Some of them are very neat. Some of them are not very neat.
Glad
it's a thought that counts, guys. Come
yeah,
on.
That's true. That's true.
You took the effort, you know.
And Justin brings it up, and I've heard this from a lot of people. And as you know, sports fans are like elephants. They have very long memories. And especially in football, there are a lot of grudges that are held over the years, Mark. And a lot of people still remember the fact that for whatever reason, and Missouri gave several good reasons, but Missouri got out of a game with the Hawkeyes many years ago. That one to be played at Kinnick Stadium. And a lot of people are still remembering that and using that as a basis to hope anyway that Iowa, as Justin puts it, kicks in Missouri's teeth. Because
I'm not as familiar with that fan base as I am with Nebraska's, but perhaps there's some, you know, no love lost between the two. I'm not quite sure about that, but I know Iowa fans feel Missouri ducked Iowa by pulling out of that game. I don't remember all the circumstances. They were supposed to play in a bowl that got canceled due to COVID, but this is a game, this is a matchup that I, for a long time, believed it should be made. When Missouri was in the Big 12, now when it's in the SEC, you're talking about a border school. And it's really only the border school Iowa doesn't play, right?
Right. And to be honest with you, there's no reason why. I mean, Iowa State and Missouri had the telephone trophy. Mm-hmm. This was a trophy game in football, and now it is not even played anymore, obviously, with Missouri's departure from the Big 8 and the Big 12. There's no reason, really, other than the fact that Missouri is now in the SEC, and you can't have power. Iowa plays Iowa State in football. They're not going to play Missouri in football. But other sports, the Olympic sports, basketball, Missouri and Illinois play the border battle. They did that last weekend. They do it every year at the Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Maybe they could play in Keokuk. I don't know. Play Iowa, Missouri in basketball. Iowa, Missouri should wrestle every year. Iowa, you and I should wrestle every year. But that's a whole different story. Don't ask Mark about that on Friday. It's a border state battle, and it should be waged more than it is, if not in football, certainly in other sports.
Yeah, there are those matchups that we've gone over, the Iowa and you and I in wrestling, and other matchups. We talked about the Big Four games in men's basketball. This in football, I think, always has been a natural. It's not going to happen nowadays with three non-conference games in the Big Ten, one of them against Iowa State. It's just not going to happen. But I think it should. I think it'd be interesting. As far as this bowl game, you know, I think the only two states in the country that are going to care is Iowa and Missouri. I could be wrong. I don't know. Maybe a few people in Tennessee in the Nashville area.
I mean, it is the only bowl game on that day, too. So, you know, it's got a little
in
bit
that,
of a...
In that time slot.
In that time slot, yeah. So, I mean, it's got a little bit of a spotlight on there. Not, sure. Not a massive one, but a slight one if you're, you know, a college football sicko or something.
There'll be sickos watching this one. 319-366-1600 here on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. Iowa State, Miami, we'll have that for you at 12:30 with the pregame on Saturday with John Walters and Eric Heft, as they will be down at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. I'm interested in this game because there's just a lot of things that pique my interest. Number one, how is Miami going to travel? Are they going to make their way up to Orlando? It is close. It is nearby. They could have an amazing home field advantage if they choose to, but this is disappointing for Miami. I don't know if it's disappointing or not for Iowa State fans. I guess that remains to be seen. How many Cyclone fans are going to be going to Orlando after many, many, many thousand of them went to Dallas for the Big 12 championship game? Is there any cash left for Busch Light to go to Orlando for the Cyclone fans? The other thing is, this is, if you like offense, ladies and gentlemen, this could be your cup of tea. Miami is numero uno in college football in offense. 540 yards of offense a game. But what is Cam Ward going to be like? He is going to play, at least as of the moment. Cam Ward is still going to play in this football game. He was thought of as the Heisman Trophy favorite for the first half of the season. Is his head going to be into it? Is his heart going to be into it? Certainly Miami has got a ton of talent on that football team, Mark. They're 10-2, but they lost two out of their last three. They basically flushed a possible college football playoff spot down the drain by losing two out of three. We know Iowa State was painfully close to getting into the college football playoff as well, but it was a completely different scenario. You're talking apples and oranges between the Cyclones and the Hurricanes. Can Iowa State, number three in America against the pass, stop the number two passing attack in America? That's your game right there.
I think it's a terrible matchup for Iowa State. There were certain times during the season that I thought Miami was among the top teams in the country. And, you know, two losses on the road, one score games. Miami did it to them, did it to itself by losing those games, especially the game at Syracuse in the regular season final. And it's super talented. Once again, if you watched any of Miami this year, you'd say, man, that's a pretty darn good football team capable of getting in the playoffs. And it wasn't that far off. And Cam Ward, you got a guy that, you know, put up all kinds of numbers, super talented, you know, maybe the number one quarterback taken. I don't know. Maybe number two. He's going to be a first-round draft pick. It's going to be he's going to be the most talented, versatile quarterback that Iowa State has played this season.
But the question is Miami's heart going to be in this game? That's and nothing against Iowa State or anything like that. Cyclones have had a terrific year. If Miami's head is not in this game, Iowa State's going to boat race him. If Miami just shows up, Iowa State's going to win this thing big. Now, if Miami shows up with a chip on their shoulder trying to prove something, Miami's got as much talent as anybody in the country, and that includes Oregon, and that includes Ohio State. I don't know if they're paying them as much as Oregon and Ohio State. We'll see. But they got talent. Talent, talent, talent all over the playing field. I don't know. What team's going to show up, Isaac?
I don't know. I think it should be an entertaining game. I think both offenses will show up. So I think it'll be high scoring. I think it'll be fun. I don't know. I'm hoping that everyone just goes out there and plays to their maximum ability. Because if everyone is out there playing motivated, focused, solely focused, I think it would be a very, very entertaining, interesting matchup. Especially, I think Iowa State's offense will have plenty of opportunities against that Miami secondary. When what you saw from the Syracuse game there, and plus you know Iowa State's wide receiver talent and weapons talent on the outside there. So I think it'll be, I don't know, I don't want to say one team's not going to show up, but it feels like I think both teams will be motivated. I think Cam Ward didn't opt out for this game for a reason. He's already going to be a first-round draft pick, and it's very interesting to me that he didn't opt out, because he'd be someone that you would think would, considering he might not have much to gain by playing in this game.
If he can move the ball against number three passing defense in America, then I think his draft stock will go even higher. Obviously, they got to go through the combine in Indianapolis and other things, but he would help himself. He would help himself. 319-366-1600. Gerard Hamilton is going to join us coming up from Power Mizzou, the 24/7 affiliate down there in Como, and we will talk with him here in just a little bit. But need to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're open at 4 o'clock, and that is regularly Monday through Saturday. I'm sure closed tomorrow due to Christmas, but you can check them out. Their Facebook, you can check them out online at emilshideaway.com. And what do we got today?
Speaking of college quarterbacks, Indiana has found its replacement for Curtis Rourke, apparently. The Hoosiers are bringing in Fernando Mendoza out of California, out of the transfer portal. He passed for right at 3,000 yards and 16 touchdown passes last year for Cal. Drake has found its new football coach. He is Joe Woodley, who has been at Grandview for 17 seasons, the last six as head coach. Grandview won the NAIA National Championship this year. Perhaps not surprisingly, Caitlin Clark is the Associated Press Female Athlete of the Year.
What?
The fourth women's basketball player to earn that award. Candace Parker, Rebecca Lobo, and Cheryl Swoops, the others. The male athlete, Shohei Ohtani. And finally, Doug Wilson, CEO of the Cedar Rapids Colonels, has announced he's retiring in June. Doug has been with the Colonels since 2003. Done great work, I think we'd agree.
Yeah, and a great guy, too. Just a salt of the earth and will be missed. He's going to hang on and indoctrinate the new CEO and show him all the ropes through the first half of the season. So we wish Doug the best in retirement. We'll have to have Doug on and talk over all the good times and old times with the Cedar Rapids Ball Club. So we'll look forward to that in 2025. We'll take a break, come back. Reminder, Iowa State and Miami, as we mentioned, coming up on Saturday at 12:30 for you right here on 1600 ESPN. Brought to you by LisaNolanRealtor.com. And, of course, Lisa, the Cardinal sponsor for Iowa State football, men's and women's basketball during the year. Back to talk Missouri football when we return here on the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
A bit of a foggy start to your Christmas Eve today. We will, however, stay fairly cloudy with temperatures rising their way on up into the upper 30s. However, we will continue to stay fairly mild as we head overnight tonight and into early tomorrow morning. But throughout your Christmas day, we'll be seeing another system passing its way on to our south and east, which could bring up a little bit of light precipitation throughout the day. While I wouldn't be too worried about that for the most part, it could still bring about a few slick spots on the roadways as we head throughout the day here Wednesday. Overall high should be into those upper 30s, falling into the middle 30s as we do head overnight. I'm meteorologist Garrett Hyde, and that was a check of your latest Iowa's News Now weather for his forecast.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family could have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kurt Gustafson or Lana Pierce at 319-363-7214.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Scott Unash here for your neighborhood Quick Star, and they've got some terrific specials going on right now. Of course, everybody is very, very, very busy at this time of the year, and if you need that last-minute item, be sure to stop by your neighborhood Quick Star. And some of those items include Nature's Touch chocolate milk, and that is half gallon. It does exclude 1% chocolate milk. $2.49 for the half gallon, limit two. Also, Kitchen Craving summer sausage, 12 ounces. Great for snacks, two for $7.50 or $4.29 each, and always at the holiday time. Quickery white bread, 99 cents for the 1 pound loaf, limit two. And yeah, life is busy at this time of the year. So whether you're craving fresh hot coffee, a tasty bakery treat, or a quick grab and go meal or a snack, stop on by your neighborhood Quick Star and pick those up.
Having a real Christmas tree is the best.
Right? But how do we get rid of it?
Oh, that's easy.
It is?
Uh-huh. Just make sure all the stuff's taken off, you know, wires, tinsel, decorations, and your tree can't have any of that fake snow spray on it.
Got it.
Then just set your tree in your regular collection location or cut it to fit in your Yardie cart and make sure the lid is fully closed for collection.
That's it?
Yep. The city of Cedar Rapids will be collecting trees December 30th through January 10th.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from CR News Now.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Sign up for text alerts now at crnewsnow.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym.
Business owners, are you tired of hearing, "I didn't know you were here"? Frustrated that your unique story isn't being told? If your sales are flat or declining, it's time for a change. I'm Stacy Daybault, branding specialist and strategist with KZIA, and I have the solution. Brandsformation is a proven marketing system that delivers results. You'll have an entire team of experts working on your message to inspire and drive sales.
To schedule an appointment, call this station or text BRAND to 76626.
This year, American farmers will harvest 2.8 billion bushels of wheat and 15.1 billion bushels of corn. And to this day, American road workers have built 4.2 million miles of roads and counting. We're proud that John Deere machines rolling off the line here in the USA play a part in supporting Americans who work the land and build a better tomorrow. Nothing runs like a Deere. Learn more at johndeere.com/manufacturing.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hi, I'm Dr. Peter Stahl, board-certified urologist and senior vice president of men's sexual health at HIMSS. I've helped many guys with ED in my 12 years of practice. But now you can get world-class care for ED 100% online by going to HIMSS.com. So what are you waiting for?
To start your free online visit and find ED treatment at up to 95% off brand name prices, go to HIMSS.com/joy.
Back with you at 3:36 on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN. Eastern Iowa's home for sports in Cedar Rapids and in Iowa City. We are off tomorrow, back with you on Thursday when we will talk with Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic, Iowa State in Miami in the Pop-Tarts Bowl on Saturday. We'll have it at 12:30 for you right here on 1600 ESPN. And then Kevin Lehman to talk college basketball with us on Thursday. Iowa and Missouri in the Music City Bowl on Monday down in Nashville, Music City, USA. We'll have that for you from ESPN coming up on Monday afternoon. And happy to have Jerron Hamilton joining us from Power Mizzou, part of the 24/7 network. And Merry Christmas, Jerron. How you doing?
Doing well. Happy holidays. How you doing?
Doing great. And we were talking a little bit earlier that this is the first time Iowa and Missouri have faced one another since, I think, the Insight Bowl 2014. They were supposed to play in this bowl 4 years ago. We're supposed to play way back in a regular season game, but that was called off. And why doesn't Iowa State or Iowa and Missouri play one another more? Maybe not so much in football, but in other sports. We're just kind of wondering out loud and talking about that.
I couldn't tell you. I really don't know the answer to that. I don't know. The way college sports is going with, you know, losing a little bit more of the regionality and stuff like that. I mean, they weren't in the same conference, but still, it just, I don't know. Things seem so spread out. Obviously, when did Missouri go to the SEC? In 2012, I think that was the first year. So, like, I'm somebody who thinks Missouri going to the Big Ten also would have made plenty of sense. So I don't know why, you know, certain matchups don't happen. And now in this landscape where we've got Cal and SMU and all this crazy stuff in the ACC and stuff you just never think of, you don't know. So maybe they will come back around and the logical matchups may happen a little bit more. I don't know.
Never say never, right?
Right.
Gerard, I have a softball question for you. More talk about next year's quarterback or this bowl game?
Definitely next year's quarterback. you know, when Missouri getting Bo Fabula just a couple of days ago. I mean, ever since pretty much the end of the regular season, and I'm sure it's like this for Iowa and just pretty much any team that's not in the CFP, they've kind of turned their attention towards 2025. I mean, preparing for this bowl game this week is, I don't know, it feels like the last game was 4 or 5 months ago. It feels new because everything has been just transfer portal. Obviously, the signing day was in there. So many things going on. So they're definitely looking forward to 2025. But, I mean, they have a lot of players, you know, upperclassmen, guys who could declare for the draft, all that stuff, that are still playing in this game. So they haven't turned the page like, you know, I guess most teams would. But most of the attention has been set on 2025.
Well, let's talk about it. You said most are playing, not everyone. We know Caleb Johnson's not playing for Iowa. Jamari Harris is not playing for Iowa. A couple other minor players. But what about things for the Mizzou side?
For Mizzou, Luther Burden, he won't be playing in the game for the same reasons as Caleb Johnson. Armand Mimble, right tackle, best offensive lineman they had this year. Another guy who's declared for the NFL draft, he won't be playing. And starting tight end Brett Norfleet, he will not be playing. He had a surgery on an undisclosed issue. I'm pretty sure if I had to guess, we don't know, but if I had to guess, it probably has something to do with a shoulder. He had a nagging shoulder injury throughout much of the year, so he won't be playing. And then linebacker Chuck Hicks, who started the first six games and started coming off the bench in the last six games, if they're Mike. He won't be playing, just citing family reasons, want to spend more time with his family. They had a couple younger players in the portal. Obviously, you guys probably seen Williams Winery, former five-star. He went to Nebraska. They had Kawan Lacey go to Ole Miss. We don't know if it's specifically those guys. I know there are some transfers who have been allowed to, you know, if they want to, they can stay on the roster and participate in the bowl game. That's something Eli Drinkwitz allowed players to do for the Cotton Bowl last year, but I had to guess it's probably Winery and Lacey maybe who won't be there, but he didn't specify. We just know a couple transfers who opted out or who decided to transfer out won't be there.
As far as the players that are, we know about Missouri's quarterback, and he's been a stabilizing force for Missouri. What will Iowa face with him and the rest of the offense?
With Brady Cook, I mean, for one, he's going to be the healthiest he's been since, I'm talking about mid-season, week 7 or week 8, he got, or at least the beginning of week 8, he got hurt maybe 5 or 6 snaps into the week 8 game versus Auburn, had a high right ankle sprain, very next week at Alabama, had a wrist injury, so he's needed some rest for quite a bit, so probably won't be, you know, 100% in who is at this point in the season, but he's going to probably feel as good as he felt all year. They've got a decent running attack, I think, for Missouri all year. The issue is the offense hasn't looked maybe the way it looked last year or the way they wanted to look, you know, going into the season because they didn't lean as heavy on the rushing attack as they should have. I mean, that we've seen spurts and moments where when they rely on the run, it opens up the pass, which is what they really want to do. And for whatever reason, it took them to about week 12 versus South Carolina to really realize, you know, if you establish the run, everything gets a little bit easier. But by that time, the game they lost and that kind of, you know, ended their CFP hopes. So the last few games, though, they've kind of found their mojo and know, like, they get that run game established. It helps everything else open up in the pass game.
Kind of sounds like Iowa a little bit. Gerard Hamilton joining us here to talk Missouri football on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class. And looking at this year as a whole, Gerard, was this a disappointing year, a year that people thought it was going to be? Just what are the feelings around this Mizzou team after this 9-3 campaign?
You could say there's the season isn't a disappointment because I think this is their 9-9-1 season in program history. They have a chance to go for 10 wins for second year in a row. They've only had consecutive 10-win seasons twice before in their history. So, you know, winning 9 or 10 games isn't something, you know, to scoff at. That's not something that's guaranteed here. So I wouldn't call it disappointing. Was there kind of a bit of – I don't know which – I guess in a way you could call it disappointment in the sense of week 12 when they lost to South Carolina and they got that third loss. They kind of knew a couple weeks before the end of the season for real that they were kind of out. Yeah, it kind of deflated the fan base a little bit, but the way they finished strong in the last two games, and again having a chance to win a 10th game in back-to-back seasons, like they're not sleeping on that idea. They're not kind of going past it, and the fan base kind of knows like this. Still, the trajectory of the team is still going up, and the portal moves and the signing class and stuff. It may have been like a slight deflation for a couple of weeks, but everybody's kind of turned to 2025 and they're pretty hopeful about that. So not a disappointment, but maybe just a little bit under what some expectations were, just considering going 11-2 and winning the Cotton Bowl last year and 12-team playoff coming into fruition this year.
Throughout Iowa, as you know, has hung its hat on defense for the past few years, and it took a bit of a step back this year, not a great deal, but on the other side, Missouri ranks in the top 20 in many defensive categories. What does the Missouri defense hang its hat on?
It's the Missouri defense has kind of been, I don't know, odd, I guess, in a way to say this year. I think they're 20th in the country in defense, 25th in pass defense. And so the stats look good, but it took me until around week 11 or 12 to really kind of put my finger on what this defense is. And they're definitely about trying to, you know, put pressure on the quarterback and force some mistakes. The problem is they had a 51-0 win over Murray State in the season opener. The next week it was 38-0 to Buffalo. And in week 7 they played UMass and won 45-3. So when you got teams like that, no disrespect to those teams, you know, it kind of muddies exactly what the picture is, because the stats say one thing, but the eye test doesn't say 20th ranked defense per se. They also lost a lot of talent from last year. They had five of their starters got drafted in the NFL in April. So they lost a lot of talent. So they did well for what they had, especially under Corey Bethune, which is in his first year. But they're trying to, you know, stop the run, rush the passer. The secondary has been suspect all year. They've been susceptible to big plays. They've had too many blown coverages that have led to touchdowns, and they don't respect Iowa. I know everybody likes to make jokes about Iowa and stuff like that, but I'd like to say this is a Big Ten team that won 8 games. They also have Division I players as well. Like, don't play around because what you hear, whatever the case may be. So they've had some issues in that secondary, so they've got to get after the passer and force, I believe it's going to be Brendan Sullivan is what I've heard,
yep,
to make some, you know, pass the ball, even though he seems like he wants to do a little bit more running.
Yeah, and it is, from what we hear anyway, Brendan Sullivan is going to be the under center, at least to start the game. It's been a while since he has been in there. Jackson Stratton started the last couple of games. Couple games Sullivan was in there against maybe some lesser talent, perhaps, but did put 40 on the board. So a little bit more of a running quarterback, which is a little bit different than, you know, the norm going up against an Iowa offense.
Yeah, and something I know that, you know, they may want to try to do a lot of RPOs. Go back to the Mississippi State game for Missouri. RPOs was killing Missouri. I mean, I know Drinkwitz at the end of the game told us he knew basically the other team would get, you know, a lot of yardage off of that, and there were some things they were okay letting happen, and because they didn't want to get beat with the deep ball, basically. But it was something that just all game, and they won the game by 19, but it felt a little closer than that for, you know, a good amount of the game. And so if Iowa is heavy on that RPO, and Missouri doesn't have any gap integrity, if the secondary don't have any eye discipline and kind of looking in the backfield, which is why they've gotten burnt on some things throughout the year, then it could be a big day for Iowa and, you know, their passing game as well as the rushing game.
You know, Gerard, Nashville is not very far from either fan base. How do you suppose Missouri will travel?
I think they'll have a decent-sized fan base. It's only about six and a half hours from Columbia or whatever, and so that's – you know, you make it drivable, and then you got so many of, you know, the regulars playing in this game. It's not going to be, again, not a game with a whole lot of opt-outs on Mizzou side. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a good amount of the Mizzou contingent there. I mean, even when we went to UMass, I remember seeing a good, nice little number of Mizzou fans out there. And so if you give them a trip, they'll make something out of it, but especially if it's drivable. So I think they'll be there in Nashville.
Yeah. Well, basketball started off nicely, a nice little bounce back. How's our friend Tony Perkins doing down in Missouri way?
Doing all right. I mean, they had a pretty good game versus, you know, Illinois the other day. I'm sure there's some things they wish they could have done differently, like, you know, maybe a little bit more of their free throws and things like that, as far as the team in general. But he's doing all right up here, and Missouri's looking all right. They're looking all right. Much, much better than how they looked last year.
Yeah, very true, very true. All right, Gerard, thank you for the time. Merry Christmas, safe travels, and thank you for jumping on with us today. Appreciate it.
Of course. Appreciate you guys. Happy holidays.
Yep. Happy holidays to you. Gerard Hamilton joining us here from Power Mizzou, the 24/7 sports network, and talking a little Missouri football. Tony Perkins playing down there for the Missouri Tigers in basketball. I got to say, it looks a little different. It's still black and gold, different shade, but they put out the game day, tweet or whatever for the Illinois game, and Tony Perkins was there with a Missouri uniform on, and I got to say, it looked a little strange.
Yeah, it does. I mean, he's helping them, that's for sure, and I don't know what you took from Gerard's comments, but one thing, you know, they like to talk about the ranking on defense, and I thought he had some great comments about those early games that kind of skewed the stats, so yep. I'm going to be curious to see how really good that defense is.
Now, Buffalo is a bowl team, so that's okay.
It's not Alabama.
It's not Alabama. Murray State is bad. That's one of the worst 1AA teams, Isaac.
My takeaway was how similar that team sounds to Iowa. When he was describing that defense about the pass rush and how they're good stopping the run, they want to stop the run, but they're susceptible at the back end, I was just like, man, it sounds like if you didn't know any better, sounds like he was describing Iowa's defense this year.
These are two programs that are pretty much looking in the mirror at one another. They usually beat teams they should beat, lose to teams more often than not that they should lose to, kind of do things in a similar way. You talked about what the defense brings. It's, like I said, it's kind of looking in a mirror. I think it's going to be a heck of a game on Monday. And we'll have it for you right here on 1600 ESPN, the national ESPN broadcast of the ball game on Monday afternoon. By the way, Spencer is going to be on Monday right after the game. Correct, Isaac? He said for about an hour?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on when the coverage stops, but basically once ESPN's coverage stops on Monday, Ryan to Spencer on sports is my understanding.
So an impromptu post-game call-in show. The OG is back.
We'll also probably have, I don't know if we'll be able to do some of this, but we'll try to do some of have some of Kirk Ferentz's press conference, maybe if possible.
Okay, you guys worry about that.
Yeah, I mean that's Spencer.
Don't break any copyright laws or anything like that.
That's Spencer's deal on Monday. He'll figure out how we can finagle around.
Really
that.
Don't want to get fined or Spencer out of jail or anything like that. Or are you out of jail? You know.
Actually, Andrew's going to be here on Monday, so you know.
Oh, Andrew! Oh,
he's the producer that's going to get in trouble there.
Did you see that, Mark? You see what covering his back over there is, Isaac.
What good producers do, right?
Right. Get Andrew in there. All right, we'll take a break, come back, wrap things up on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class, and we'll do it when we return right after this here on 1600 ESPN.
Harry Douglas here for Technique's new noise-canceling True Wireless AZ80 earbuds. Technique's has been revolutionizing the audio game for almost 60 years. With multi-point connection of up to 3 devices at the same time, the AZ80s let you go from leading a meeting to listening to a podcast to taking a call seamlessly. Visit us.techniques.com/sports for special holiday deals on the AZ80s today. That's us.techniques.com/sports.
Old Spice Swagger Holiday Pack, perfect for a gift to treat yourself.
24/7 holiday freshness with daily use can smell your bestest. I'm gonna be smelling great all season. Old Spice scents just can't be beaten. Chock full of value, saving that green. Got the essentials needed to feel clean. Deodorant, hair, body wash, and spray. Celebrate your holiday the Old Spice way.
Ho, 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 ho.
Harry Douglas here. Say goodbye to bulky, clunky shavers that clutter your bathroom. Not only do you get an incredible shave, Panasonic's Palm Razor has a sleek, elegant design that adds a touch of sophistication to your bathroom. It also conveniently charges with a USB cord. Visit shop.panasonic.com/sports to shop for the Palm Razor. Use promo code HARRY for 10% off exclusively for ESPN Radio listeners. That's shop.panasonic.com/sports, promo code HARRY.
At the Home Depot, we know Saturdays are for college football. That's why we have everything you need to never miss a play, like Bear Dynasty Interior Paint, their most durable one-coat hide paint ever. From a team color statement wall to a fan cave, complete with a mural honoring Nick Saban's 17-year dynasty.
Hey, I like that idea.
Nothing beats Bear Dynasty Interior Paint. It's everything you need all in one can.
Defend your game time with Bear and the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Valid only when tinted to colors from the Bear Dynasty and Marquee Interior one-coat hide color collection.
We are back to close up shop here on a Christmas Eve edition of the Gym Class here at 1600 ESPN. We will send you to ESPN programming coming up next, and then the only sporting events going on today, that is the Hawaii Bowl. South Florida and San Jose State will have it at 6:30 tonight from ESPN, 7 o'clock with the kickoff for that one. And people talk about the day before the All-Star game and the day after the All-Star game as the slowest day in sports. This may be the slowest day in sports. I mean, there's maybe the AAA All-Star game going on that day. I mean, there's one thing today. That is it. One thing going on today. So enjoy it, America, or watch, you know, It's a Wonderful Life tonight, or the Christmas Story Marathon getting started tonight for 24 hours, whichever you prefer.
I just can't keep thinking about how far Miami is in from Honolulu for South Florida.
True.
That's got to be a jaunt.
Not bad for San Jose State, though.
I don't think they mind taking the trip out to Hawaii. I know I'm not with the team or cover the team or anything, but I don't think they mind a trip out to Hawaii in December.
I would not mind it one bit. Wouldn't mind it one bit. We are off tomorrow, as we mentioned. Back with you on Thursday. Todd is in Thursday morning, so his show will go off from 6:30 until 9. Spencer is off for the week, so Todd will have his shows Thursday and Friday. Mark and I, and we'll have our shows coming up on Thursday and Friday as well, and we are jam-packed. Rob Gray is going to join us just ahead of boarding an airplane to Orlando for the Iowa State bowl game against Miami, so we will talk with Rob with hopefully, fingers crossed, in case, I don't think there's going to be bad weather, so you don't have to push anything up, so hoping that happens. Kevin Lehman will join us, and then Mark Ironside on Friday. And Mark, a Merry Christmas to you and yours, and hope you have a good one.
Merry Christmas to you guys and all our listeners, and I hope you enjoy your samurai sword, Scott.
Okay.
You're not a Bengal lineman.
I am not. Merry Christmas, Isaac. Merry Christmas to everybody out there. It's been the Gym Class.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. With ZipRecruiter,